This seance was recorded on the 4th of August. July. August.
No, it is August.
It is August, yeah.
You wouldn't think so, would you?
1965, medium Leicester Flint.
Do our best.
Yes, you always do.
Hello, my dear.
Hello, darling. How soon you've come through. How nice. Have you really? Lovely.
Yes.
So have I.
Tell me more about the book.
Oh, no, it isn't out at the moment. It's being revised. It's going out again in a month's time, I hope. I haven't quite got it complete yet.
Making revision, I...
That's it. It's a new typescript, and I have to wait for the parts of it to be done. Well, do you feel strong enough, darling, to talk about reincarnation? You said you would like to once.
Well, I feel strong enough, but I suppose if the medium isn't too well, it's more difficult. It seems so, anyway.
Oh.
But I'll do my best.
Yes, thank you.
I don't like to disappoint you, naturally. I come just as enthusiastically as you do.
Yes.
Looking forward to it tremendously and trying to decide what I should talk about, and I always want to talk about the things you want me to talk about. Of course, reincarnation is such an enormous subject that it would take many sessions.
Yes, of course it would.
I think the most important thing to realize in regard to reincarnation is the fact that it is something which isn't necessarily essential in every instance. In other words, not everyone incarnates again, although many, many do. In fact, vast majority. But of course, we have to go back centuries upon centuries in time and realize that there are many, many souls who have incarnated on several occasions and now do not feel the need to incarnate again. But, of course, one has to accept the fact that in one life on earth, one can only hope to, in a sense, skim the surface of experience, and it's often necessary to re-enter the earth world, to live a new life in a new guise, in a new body, as a new being. Indeed, sometimes of the opposite sex. Sometimes it's essential to experience certain happenings which can only be experienced under certain conditions which previously were quite different when you were on earth before.
Yes.
And then again, I think one should remember that there are individuals who choose to return to do a special work. Most of the great teachers and prophets of old were very old souls who'd chosen to return to do a certain work in a certain age and set an example and show the path for others that might follow.
Yes. So many very rather important and learned people don't accept it, darling, do they? For instance, our beloved Finlay didn't seem to be able to... Embrace it.
I don't think, in a sense, though it may sound rather odd, I don't think it really matters
in some cases.
There are bound to be people with differing views and different strata of experience, and of course there are many people to whom reincarnation is repugnant and who possibly, in many instances, will not have the need to incarnate, will not want to reincarnate. You see, the point is that there are so many souls on earth who have experienced a great deal in previous lives, of which they, of course, remember little or nothing at all, more likely than not, nothing at all. And in consequence, they do not at that time in their incarnation have the experience of these things, but... And in a way, it's a good thing. I mean, people were saying if one could remember this or that, there would be very good evidence or proof of it. And since we don't remember, how do we know? But the point is this, that in many instances it would be a bad thing to have recognition or remembrance of previous lives, because that would be a barrier rather than help. For instance, if you remembered certain aspects of life that were, in your own instance, or own case, bad from the point of view of the fact that you did this or that that you should not have done, which was detrimental to your spiritual advancement, if you remembered this too vividly and knew about it too much, you would then, in the next incarnation, be on your guard, and you would be artificially, you might say, avoiding things. In other words, when a thing happens, it must happen from within oneself. If you want to do good, or if you want to live a life that is good, or do certain things that are wise, then these things will spring from within oneself and come naturally. But if you do things because you think you should do them, it's the right thing to do, and you do them against your will, or if you do something because you think it's essential that you do it, because in a previous incarnation you neglected that aspect of yourself. In other words, if you do something through a kind of fear, then that's not good in itself. Your duty must spring naturally from one's innermost soul.
Yes.
That you want to do something.
Yes, that's a very interesting point. I've never
you
heard
see,
that
so
really.
Many people say, oh, well, if I knew where I went wrong last time, I could avoid it. Well, the point is that if you knew where you went wrong, or you knew what your failings were, and in this incarnation you were on your guard, and you were saying to yourself, no, I mustn't do this, or I mustn't do that, this is where I went wrong last time, you would probably almost certainly be doing something, in a sense, through fear. You wouldn't be doing it naturally. It wouldn't be springing from your innermost soul that you wanted to do something. You see, until man learns to live according to his inner conscience, his inner realization of things that are wise and good, until man desires to do good for good's sake and not through a kind of fear, that is a trouble, of course, of the majority of religion.
Yes, yes.
So much goodness comes not through the sake of goodness or wanting particularly to be good, but through the fear of doing otherwise in case one is punished, you see. That is one of the big faults with Orthodox religion.
Yes. Have you learned your incarnations, darling?
Oh, yes.
Did you know about them?
I've known about them now for some little time.
Yes.
But I'm getting to know a little more of the detail. But the point is that there are some incarnations of which one has little knowledge or realization, because in themselves they played a very unimportant part. You see, there are lives in which, I suppose, formative lives, if you like, or the formative experiences of Earth, which were so basic, which were so... In any case, one also has to go back to the time and the way of life of the times, and also to realize that one was the product of an age, to some extent. You see, there again, I think it's important to realize that people are the product of an age, and what is generally accepted as the thing to do, or the outlook of life that one may have in that age, may not necessarily fit in and could not fit in with another age. You see, there is so much that one has to take into consideration. For instance, a person may not be, according to the age in which they live, as bad a person as perhaps we would think in retrospect, because they are the product of an age which may have been, for instance, very cruel, and cruelty was an accepted thing. I mean, this may sound like an excuse, but the point is that there are things that do not happen in your life today which were commonplace 100 years ago.
Yes, of course.
For instance, you take today, you don't hang children. But 100 years ago, it wasn't an unknown thing for children who stole a loaf of bread to be hanged.
Yes.
The point is that we are the product of our age and our time and the thinking. You see, the whole point is the thought force of an age is so powerful that it affects the whole of life, it affects the whole of humanity. And until man progresses en masse, you see, we talk about the individual progress of man, which is, of course, necessary and vital. And, of course, it must be the individual progress of man that will formulate the whole thinking of the whole human race en masse. But the point is that an age is predominantly as it thinks, and the peoples of that age are the product of the minds of a previous generation,
yes,
that have been the formation of their own and present. So we are all, in a sense, in an age of change, or a time of change, and an evolution.
Yes.
And an age, an individual life in a certain age, is essential and necessary. And we learn to a certain extent, and we make terrible mistakes, and we have failure. But the point is that it is often necessary for the human being to incarnate in a new incarnation, in a new life, in a new age, to contribute something which is very necessary, not only to himself, or evolve, or develop in himself, but contribute to the age in which he is reborn.
Yes.
There are great instances, of course, of this, of great souls who, in a way, stand head and shoulders above the peoples of that time. They are great leaders, or great teachers, or great prophets, or great seers, or in some field or other, maybe it is in art, for instance, or music. All these great souls, which often the world looks upon as a genius, or, for instance, if not that, in some instances, they're looked upon as people out of time, people that perhaps are not always accepted in that age, people who do not seem to fit in. These are old souls who've chosen to return, or perhaps in some instances been sent back. But no one really enters into the world unwillingly. I don't think one can say that anyone is forced back.
No.
Point is that the majority of people desire to enter the world again. They feel the need for experiences, or perhaps they feel the need to do a specific work or job. Everything is law and order, everything is logical. The extraordinary thing is that people are always saying, for instance, about spiritualism or communication or reincarnation or whatever it may be to do with the psychic or the spiritual, that it's not logical. Actually, the most logical thing of all is this spiritual realization. People cling to the material, think that is the logical, but it isn't. It's the most illogical.
Yes. Yes, I do see that point, darling. Could I just ask if, does the subconscious mind retain memory of past lives?
It can do, but unfortunately, it's invariably a great effort for the individual to recapture past memories. It's something that often one has to, if one is interested, of course, in this, is one has to force oneself, one has to sort of endeavour very hard to jog one's memory.
Well, I have my wonderful reincarnation graph, you know, drawn through Harold Sharp.
Yes.
He could scarcely make up five of my former important, giving me absolute dates and details, and I do remember my last one in the 17th century a little.
Yes, well there you are, you see, I think it is at times possible, but it's not a general thing.
No,
it's possible
see.
For some individuals to tap the source of supply or tap the source of knowledge of these things.
I seem to have been mediumistic, especially in the 17th century. It seems rather interesting, doesn't it?
But then again, you are in this, but you probably don't realize it. That's the trouble.
Well, not in the usual sense.
You're not a medium in the accepted sense, but you have tremendous inspiration, although you sometimes ignore it and possibly think it's imagination. A great
yes.
deal that you could do, you don't do. I don't say it's your fault, but I think it is that you are, to some extent, inclined to be over-careful, which is, in a way, not a bad thing. But the point is that you could put down to paper a lot of impressions and thoughts and ideas that I instill in your mind.
Yes. Have we been together in former lives?
Oh, we've had two Egyptian incarnations, one in ancient China.
Oh, that's an interesting
one. To my knowledge, in ancient Rome, and also we were, to some extent, influential in the early 18th century, late 17th and early 18th century, in bringing into being a new realization of the teachings of Christ. But this, of course, was very difficult for us in an age where orthodoxy was very powerful.
Yes.
But we did have an interpretation and a realization of the Christian faith, which we tried to instill and impress and bring into being, but it was, of course, very difficult. Because, you know, one time we had a link with Holland.
Yes, of course. I think that was the 17th century one,
yes,
where I was, to save my head, I seem to have embraced the Roman Church, which amuses me.
Yes, well, there you are. You see, it was in this age that we had this sort of realization of true Christian faith. But there were circumstances which became very difficult, and if we were to keep our heads, as you say, if we were to keep our lives at all and possibly later do something of value, we had to pretend or on the surface accept the Orthodox religion. But I'm afraid we weren't able to do as much as we'd hoped. But you know, we've always been, that's one thing I've discovered, possibly the most important thing of the lot, that we've always been interested in finding out truth.
Oh,
a religious truth.
Good.
And I'm not a bit surprised that I spent so much of my time and effort in my last incarnation in regard to propagating Christianity.
Yes, yes, of course you did.
My only regret is that I didn't propagate it or didn't accept what I now know to be the truth.
Yes, that's a wonderful point, darling.
But you and I have for centuries, in all our incarnations, been associated and connected with religion. We've always been seekers.
Oh, well, that's a great point, isn't it? Very great point. Well, I'm so interested in that, darling, and you're not going to incarnate before I come over, I hope.
No, I don't think I shall ever incarnate again.
You don't?
I think you will. I think that our work, our links with Earth will be finished.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure of that. I don't want to come back, and I'm quite sure you won't.
No, I'm not very keen.
I want to go ahead on this side. There's so much I want to learn and discover and find out. And
yes.
I must admit that the greatest joy here is this incessant discovery, this constant finding out and experiencing of new things. Life never ceases to be wonderful.
Yes.
There's always something fresh and new to understand and discover. I've never known such peace and calm, such placidity as I know now. I feel
how lovely.
More at peace than I've ever known.
Yes. Oh, I'm
and
so
the
glad.
Fact that you know about this is a constant joy to me.
Yes.
This is the greatest blessing of all, that we have this communication.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
But if you want, and if I'm sure you do, in the future I will concentrate on incarnations and go into as much detail as I can. Because
yes.
It might make a very interesting book. I suppose I shouldn't expect you to start writing more books.
At least
it will be of interest.
I'm halfway through another one, but as Mickey says, it'll probably be published posthumously.
It's been rather difficult today. I think it is because the medium's not well. But
I think you've done very well.
I've done my best under the circumstances. But next time I hope we shall do much better. But all my love, I must go.
Yes, thank
bye
you,
bye,
darling.
Yeah.
It was very, very good indeed. Thank you.
Bye-bye, it's difficult today, but I tried my utmost rather than disappoint you.
Oh, bye-bye. That was kind of you,
God bless
Mickey.
You. Bye.
Bye-bye, Mickey.
Bye-bye. Well, I'm sure he's done his best. Well, quite frankly, I wondered if we'd get very much today.
Yes, it's wonderful,
because,
isn't it? Between them, they all...